Christmas? We've got about two people that are ready for Christmas. It really is the most wonderful time of the year. Today, we're going to spoil you today, straight after the service. You've got to stay to the end. You don't get it till the end. It's kind of like dessert at the end of the service today. We've got some amazing hospitality. We always do hospitality in a lavish way, in an amazing way. And we do it normally in a communal way, meaning that we share and just have big tables of food. But we can't do that during the COVID season. So we've individualized your hospitality today. You'll have special packs of just a whole lot of treats as you go out the door of the auditorium today. So hang around, enjoy your food. We've got a jumping castle out the front for all the adults. All the adults want to jump on there. All the kids, we've got a jumping castle there straight after the service. I need to let everybody know, particularly those that are online, that the online service won't be hosted over the next three weekends. So that's the 27th of December, the 3rd and 10th of January. We won't be able to host our online service. We're only hosting in-person services over that period of time. We're just wanting to give the people that have run so hard, and they really have, they've run so hard making it work for our online community since COVID hit, and we just need to give them a break over the Christmas period. I'd love to give everyone a break, but we're particularly giving them a break. Why don't you give them a big hand for all they do? Because they are amazing at the scrambling and the pivoting that they've had to do to make church work. So we're going to give them a break. So church will only be in person for the next three weekends only, and then we'll kick back in on the 17th of January with our online services. Also, I think that's all I need to tell you today. The other thing I want to do is just congratulate a few people in church today. I want to congratulate Tyler and Rachel and their family, and also Mitch and Dee and their family. Both of these families this last week have moved into their brand new homes that they built, their very first homes. Why don't you give them a big hand, a big round of applause, a massive congratulations to them. It's such a big moment in life when you see couples or families or individuals put a stake in the ground and say, this is our home. This is our home. And congratulations, guys. We all know what a big deal that is. And, you know, you've been moving in over the last few days and your house is undoubtedly still kind of everywhere. That's okay. You made it to church today and good on you. You're legends. We love you. We love you. I'm going to talk about joy today because it's a season of joy. That's our theme that we've been focusing on all over this Christmas month, this Christmas period. And we're doing that very intentionally because this was the message of Christmas that was shared in the very first Christmas story, joy. It was announced by the angels to some shepherds who were just out in the field minding their sheep, is what the Bible says. And the angel came along and said, I bring you good news that will be great joy for all of the people. You know, Jesus, when he was born, when the angels announced this message, they weren't good times. They were challenging times. They were difficult times in the life of the world, particularly for the people of Judea, where Jesus was born into that part of the world. Matthew's gospel tells us it was so bad that King Herod, who was so evil, he organized a plan to have all the baby boys that were 2 years of age and under murdered because he was so threatened by the concept that a new king had been born and a king that would possibly replace him. And so he had all the boys murdered so that the replacement would not be able to live. These were very dark, difficult times. The people of Judea were demoralized. They were discouraged. They were depressed. And chaos surrounded their world, uncertainty surrounded their world, and insecurity surrounded their world. And it's into this world, that kind of climate, that the message of good news and great joy was proclaimed by the angel when Jesus was born. You know, the message of Christmas is a thrill of hope. I'm not going to sing it, don't worry. It's a thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices. It's my favorite carol, O Holy Night. A holy night when Jesus was born and it was announced into this weary world, and Jesus was called a thrill of hope. You know, Jesus is the gift that doesn't stop thrilling. He still thrills the hearts of people today. People that are tired, people that are weary, people that are broken, people that are in trouble, all kinds of people. The angel said it's good news and great joy. Everyone say great joy. Great joy for all of the people. You know, I think I think the world is more tired than it's ever been. In my time, I've only been on earth for 50 odd years. And in my time, I think the world is more tired right now than it's ever been. People are tired. People are weary. We're quite fortunate in Australia, unless you live on the northern suburbs of Sydney. And that would be the only time you would ever say that about the northern suburbs of Sydney. Let me say that. If you've ever been there, it's just the most beautiful place to live and be and spend some time. And yet there's a lot of weariness that's going to go on there over the next few weeks with the explosion of COVID. Our world's hurting. We live in a world of challenge right now, in a world of chaos, and a world of pain and difficulty, and we're not quite sure what to do in terms of many aspects of life. And it can seem like the message of good news and great joy is a little bit blurred at the moment, a little bit lost at the moment. Even on believers, it's a little bit clouded at the moment. This message of a thrill of hope, a weary world rejoicing. But I want to encourage you today, in all the chaos and all the confusion, that the message of hope is still a message of hope, and the story of Jesus really does still bring a thrill of hope into the hearts of every man, every woman, and every child, because Jesus is our Savior. He is our King. You know, the message of Christmas was and is that Jesus' birth is good news and great joy for you and I. Good news and great joy for you and I. It's good news in trouble. It's good news in turmoil. It's good news in testing. It's good news in darkness of circumstances, in uncertainty and insecurity. It's even good news in the year of a pandemic is the message and the hope of Jesus. No matter the season, there's a reason to be joyful. No matter the season, there's a reason to be joyful. So I wanted to focus a moment on what is joy by looking at what joy isn't. What is joy by looking at what joy isn't? I don't think this guy is real joyful. I don't think when we look at his face, and the spirit that surrounds this guy brings great joy to anybody. This guy is a guy that a lot of people can relate to, because a lot of people kind of feel like this guy at this time of year in regards to Christmas, because for some it's not a real joyful time of year for numbers of reasons, and we can kind of relate to his level of joy. So that's one level of joy. Then you've got the other ridiculous extreme level of joy. Old SpongeBob, SquarePants, he just brings a smile to your face. I mean, anybody dressed like that brings us. It's like reindeer in the foyer of the church. Did you enjoy it? Did you see the rain? I don't know whether you saw the reindeer today, and I don't know why they haven't made an appearance on stage. But we had Pastor Darrell and Lloyd dressed as reindeer today, looking absolutely ridiculous in the foyer. But it's just a little thing of joy. That's what it is. That's what it's all about. And that's what SpongeBob is about. And, you know, I think SpongeBob for many Christians is we can tend to think that when it comes to joy, we've got to be like that. Can I just ask you, please don't be like that. Please don't be like SpongeBob, because SpongeBob is ridiculous. Firstly, he's got square pants. That doesn't work. But that smile, having that ridiculous smile around you all the time, is not helpful. That's not the aura. That's not the glow. That's not the show that we need to give to the world. We don't need to live in pretense. We don't need to live with ignorance or have a phony, overhyped, faked kind of joy. So that's not joy. This is what joy is. Joy is personal. Joy is personal. Your joy is your joy. Your joy is your responsibility. If you're looking to anyone else to make you joyful, you're going to be sad. You're going to be sad. You're going to miss it if you place the hope of joy in anyone else but God and you. Your joy is personal. Your joy is your responsibility. Don't let anyone else hold it hostage. Host it yourself. Host your own joy. So joy is personal. Secondly, joy is an intentional focus and an intentional decision. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's not a response. Joy does lead to better feelings. It does lead to better moods. It does lead to better emotions. But it starts as an intentional decision that I am going to be a joyful person. Joy is being in control of your emotional state. It's being in charge of your emotional well-being. It's actually being emotionally intelligent. It's being self-aware of who you are as a person. It's being in control of your personal space regardless of what's happening around your world. It's being the captain of your soul. Joy is a decision in the face of feelings of discouragement, despair, and defeat. For us, joy comes from the strength that we have in God to face anything. It doesn't come from what we have. The presents on Christmas Day will make you happy, but they will not give you joy. Joy is a different level altogether. So joy doesn't come from what we have. It comes from who has us. From who has us. From who holds our life literally together. Joy comes from what you know can't be taken from you. From what you know can't be taken from you. You know, life can take your job, but it can't take your God purpose. It can take your job. Like, you might find you lose your job during the journey of life from time to time, or a career might get redefined. They can take that away, but they can't take away your God purpose as you continue to journey on in life. So if you lose your job, it's not the end of your life. Everything's not over when you lose your job. Life can take a relationship from you, but can't take God's love from you. It can take the love of someone else, but it can't take God's love from you. Life can take your health, but it can't take God's grace. God's grace from your heart and God's grace from your world. Death can take your life from you, but it can't take eternal life from you. That you got to know what can't be taken from you and have joy in all of that. You know, the Bible says this, and this is a real challenge. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, one of the shortest verses in the Bible, it says, always be joyful. Always be joyful. You know, joy is ours no matter what. No matter what. I like the fact that this verse doesn't say be joyful. It just says always be joyful. Always, always kills me. Like, I can handle be joyful. Because that's kind of like, well, I'm happy to be happy every now and then. You know what I mean? I'm happy to have a little bit of joy here and a little bit of joy there. But it has this other word that's added to the phrase that gives it real sting and punch at the same time. It says always. Would you say always? Always be joyful. Always be joyful. I mean, really? Always be joyful? That's the level of joy that God wants us each one to have. And the reality is, if we're waiting for perfect circumstances to have great joy, then you'll be waiting forever. We'll be waiting forever. We can have joy in this imperfect and ugly world. We can have joy in this broken, sinful world. We can have joy in an unfair and unjust world. We can have joy in a tired and weary world when our joy comes from and flows from heaven to our hearts. Today I want to look at, just for a moment, the Christmas story. And I want to share four truth bombs with you today that will bring us great joy. Four truth bombs from the original Christmas story. The first one comes from the shepherds, and it's the truth that joy is here. Joy is here. You know, when you go into a shopping center, as a man, one of the first things I look for is that little sign thing that shows you where you are. Because I want to know where I am and where I've got to go. For me, joy is getting out, not getting in. So joy, like getting to IKEA, yeah, the expression says it all. The moment you mention that word, I mean, people love IKEA, and I'm not here to knock IKEA in case you're an IKEA representative, but IKEA, as soon as I hear that word, I go, oh, really? You've got to walk all the way through that thing? I just want to know where I am and the line of how I get out of that shop. And it's the same in shopping centres. We have these you are here maps that are designed to show us where we are and the way to get where we want to be. You know, many people make the mistake of thinking that joy is a destination, of thinking that joy is a destination. I will be happy when, that kind of thought. I'll be happy when this happens or that happens, or I win this or win that. No, you won't be. If you're not happy now, that's not going to make you happy. Joy is here. Joy is right now. It's not a destination. You're not going to arrive at joy. You've got to find joy in your now, in your today, in your moment that you have right now. So if joy is going to happen in my life, it has to be on the dot, not at the end of the line. It has to be on the dot of where I am now on the map, not with the thought of, well, when I get here, I will be joyful. No, I'm going to be joyful right now. I'm going to be joyful today. I'm always going to be joyful. Joy is not somewhere else. Joy is here now, right where you are. We need to find joy where we are. We need to find joy in what we do. We need to find joy in who we are. You may not be who you want to be. You may not be where you want to be. But find joy in who you are, where you are, and in what you do. The Bible says for the Christmas story in Luke 2 verse 8, in regards to the shepherds, it says that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding or watching, another version says, over the flocks of sheep. And then suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. You know, if you ask the shepherds, if we could interview the shepherds would have said, well, it wasn't a spectacular night. It was nothing extraordinary about it, really. We were just out in the field watching our sheep sleep. Now, I don't know what your job is, but I couldn't think of a more boring job than watching sheep sleep. You'd be dozing off like some people are in this sermon right now. You know, you'd be heads over the side, you'd be losing the plot because it's just the boring, mundane routine of shepherds. It's what they did. The most exciting thing for a shepherd was when they had a wolf come, or a fox in Australia that would come. It stir things up a little bit. Otherwise, this is a boring night. This was just a boring, routine night. Nothing exciting, just business as usual. And in the middle of the boring routine, joy shows up. Joy shows up. Can I just say that that's where God shows up for every one of us? God shows up in your everyday. In your everyday. God doesn't show up in your escape. In your escapism. In your dreaming of, the Maldives or the Seychelles Islands or wherever it might be that you want to visit. And you think, I'll be happy when I get there. No, you won't. You'll still be miserable when you get there. Because joy is not a destination. Joy is right here, right now. You don't have to go on vacation to find joy. It's good to have a vacation. Have a vacation. Have a holiday in a beautiful place. But that's not ultimately what will bring you joy. Because the truth is, when we go on vacation, guess who we take with us? We take the one that's responsible for no joy. We take us, the one that's stressed out. We take us, the one that's full of strife when we go on holidays. And we are the problem. We are the problem. And we are the one that blocks joy in our own life. You don't have to leave your job to find joy. You don't have to leave your job to find joy. Leaving your job will not find you joy. It says, suddenly, the angel of the Lord appeared. You know, suddenly, God, lots of things happen suddenly. Suddenly things can change for the better or for the worse. Suddenly you get a phone call. Suddenly a diagnosis, an accident, a disruption, a disappointment. The truth is, God can turn things suddenly around to be good just as quickly as they change for bad. God specializes in suddenlies that will bring change in our lives. Everything can change for the better. Suddenly. That's the message of Christmas. We can begin to look at things differently. We can begin to see God's love being for us rather than against us. So the first truth about Christmas is this, is that joy is here right now. Joy is here right now in spite of circumstance, contradiction, season, or situation. The second truth bomb is also from the shepherds, and that is that not only is joy here, but joy is sent. Joy is sent. It's something that is sent to us. And so joy is not something you need to spend the rest of your life trying to uncover or discover. Joy is something that God sends, to us. And the Bible says that God sent the message of good news and great joy, not only to the shepherds, but also to us. In verse 10 of Luke 2, it says, "And the angel reassured the shepherds, 'Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people.'" To all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem in the city of David. So if joy is sent, how do I get more of it in my life? How do I get more of it in my life? And, you know, there's lots of strategies that people try to get more joy, to increase their joy levels. Like, some people think, if I can just work harder, I'll be joyful. Well, if you take that posture, you would look at workaholics and you would think they would be the happiest people in the world. But they're not. They just work hard. And working hard won't ultimately give you joy. Anyone know a workaholic? If you know a workaholic, you know they're not the most joyful people in the world, because you can't work harder to discover joy, because joy is sent. Joy is sent from heaven to us. Some people think, well, I'll be more joyful if I just ignore all the bad stuff in the world. If I just turn a blind eye to all the evil and the bad things that happen in the world, if I just pretend it's not happening, then I can be more joyful. The truth is, they're not more joyful, they're just blissfully unaware. Blissfully unaware or ignorant. Joy is in recognizing that God is with me no matter what. That God is with me. He was sent into this world, Jesus, to be my Lord, the Messiah, and my Savior. Some people think a lucky circumstance will bring them joy. A lucky circumstance. Like, if I win the lottery, I'll be joyful. If I win the lottery, that'll fill me with joy. Or I'll be happy when, you know, if you're single, I'll be happy when I get married. Joy is sent. It's not a circumstance. It's not a situation. It's not a destination. And joy is not a one in a million chance, like the lottery. It's not a one in a million chance for somebody. God wants to bring us all joy, not just the one in a million. He wants to bring us all joy, not just the one in a million. So joy is not found, joy is sent. You know, many people spend the rest of their life trying to find what God has already sent, and they miss it. We need to find what God has sent. What God has sent in Jesus, whom this story of Christmas, event of Christmas, is all about. You know, when you work so hard and you look so hard and you find what God has already sent, you can often miss the joy that God has given for every one of us. Because joy is not created within. Joy is created and sent from above. The angel said, good news, great joy for all the people. So how does it become joy? The good news becomes great joy when it becomes personal. When it becomes personal. Not just good news for the world, but good news for you. Good news for you. Do you know the good news of Christmas is it's good news for every single person here, every single person online, all your neighbours, all the people in the town, all the people in the village, all the people in the city, in the state, in the nation, in the nations of the world. It is good news and great joy. But it becomes great joy when it becomes personal. You know, Christmas is personal. Jesus was sent for you. Jesus was sent for me. He came for every one of us. He came to love us and to unfold life's plan and life's purpose for every human being. He came to give you a no matter what kind of love. A no matter what kind of love. It's called unconditional love. It's God's love, different to any other love that you will ever find. When you recognize that Jesus was sent not just for all the world but for you, that's when good news becomes great joy, because it's for you. The third truth bomb I want to share comes from the wise men, and that is that joy is a journey. So not only is joy here, and not only is joy sent, joy is also a journey. So it's not a destination, but it is a journey. It's not a destination, it's joy in the journey. Joy in your life journey. And here's my encouragement. Make sure you're enjoying your journey. Make sure your journey is full of joy. The ups and downs, the valleys and the hills, that you take joy with you in every part of the journey. The Bible tells us about the wise men, the three kings, that followed this star that shone brightly in the east. And we're told that for over 2 years, they followed this star and they journeyed the journey of joy for the following the star to where the Saviour would be born. And in Matthew 2:10, it says this. It says, when they saw the star, they were so ecstatic that they showed and shouted and celebrated with unrestrained joy. I love the thought that it's unrestrained joy. They were so ecstatic when they saw the star again and they were getting close to where this baby was born that they broke out in unrestrained celebration and shouting. For 2 years they traveled the journey. I don't know how long your life journey will be, but here's my encouragement. Take joy with you all the way on the journey. Follow the star all the way and be filled with joy all the way. Joy is a process. Joy actually takes time. It takes time to have your joy increased in your life. I love the way the Bible describes joy, like Psalm 30 verse 5, because we relate to this. In terms of our relationship with God, it says that His anger lasts only a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. You know, a lot of people in this world fear the anger or the wrath of God, but here the psalmist says, the anger and the wrath of God is nothing compared to His favor. It says, for a night... For a night, for a moment, His anger lasts. Just for a glimpse, just a moment, the anger lasts. But His favor lasts a lifetime. Favor over all the journey. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. I want you to note the process here. There's weeping, there's tears, but then there's joy. There's weeping and tears, and then there's joy. You know, the joy journey often starts with tears and pain, but ends in joy. The joy journey often starts with tears and pain, but it ends in joy. In John chapter 16, verse 20, Jesus speaking to His disciples says, I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn over what's going to happen to me, but the whole world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy. Here's my thought. We often cry our way to joy. If you've got tears today, those tears are filled with hope, knowing that joy will come. Joy will come in the morning. You know, we often grieve our place, our way to a place of joy. We often grieve our way to a place of joy, which tells me this, joy is not a quick fix. Joy is not a quick fix. Joy is a journey of a life well lived. Joy is a journey that we take together. There's a lot of people that are in for the quick fix, the new thing. They're not after joy. What they're chasing is the adrenaline rush. What they're chasing is the next shiny thing in life. What they're chasing is the next high in life. Joy is a whole new level altogether. Joy is a journey. Joy is understanding Emmanuel, the name of God, the name given to Jesus. Joy is understanding that Emmanuel is with us. Wherever I go, He's with me. Through the valley, through the hills, through the good times, through the sad times, He is with me. Emmanuel, God with us. God is with you on your journey. Contrary to what the sticker says, He doesn't step out of the car at 100 plus kilometres an hour. It's not license to drive fast. It's just understanding Emmanuel is always with me. He is always with me in whatever I am doing and wherever I am and in whatever I face. My last thought on joy today is a truth bomb from Mary. A truth bomb from Mary, the mother of Jesus, whom the Bible says had great joy. She had great joy. Listen to this in Luke 1, verse 46. It says, Mary sang this song after she'd heard the message from the angel about giving birth to Jesus and her being chosen. Mary sang this song. My soul is ecstatic, is what she sings. My soul is ecstatic, overflowing with praises to God. My spirit bursts with joy over my life-giving God. Mary was bursting literally with joy. She was ecstatic, but this was not where she started. She didn't start full of joy. She didn't start ecstatic. She didn't start full of praise and bursting with joy. She started with a very difficult decision. Look where she started. In Luke 1:29, it says confused and disturbed. Anyone relate to that? Confused and disturbed. That's where she started. God told her the plan. Her response was, I'm confused. I'm disturbed. I'm afraid. I don't understand. Anyone in the room relate to that thought, to the plan of God? Maybe God hasn't come to you with a message like Mary, but maybe he's come to you through circumstance and situation and things that happen in life. And our response is, God, I'm confused. God, I'm disturbed. And so Mary started being confused and disturbed and also afraid. I mean, a virgin birth. Get your head around those two words. Virgin birth, those two words do not belong in the same statement, in the same phrasing. There's a dichotomy between those two thoughts, virgin birth. Her response was, how can it be? I've never been with a man. How can I give birth to the Savior? I mean, how do you explain virgin birth? How do you tell your mum and your dad? How do you tell your fiancé? How do you tell the village that you live in this story that God, the Holy Spirit, would overshadow me and I would be impregnated with the seed of God and give birth to Jesus, the Savior of the world? No wonder she was confused. No wonder she was disturbed. No wonder she was afraid, because she knew what she had to face. And so the Bible it paints a picture of her confronting this very difficult decision. But here we find her just a few verses later singing this song of marvel and excitement and being ecstatic and full of praise and bursting with joy. What happened between a couple of verses? What happened was she confronted a very difficult decision. And if you're going to live in joy, you're going to confront difficult decisions on your journey of life. You will confront difficult moments in your life. And we need to do what Mary did. Don't be like SpongeBob, be like Mary. Mary found joy by trusting God, not trusting herself. Mary found great joy by leaning into the heart and the plan of God rather than trusting her own heart and rather than trusting her own plan and rather than worrying about what other people thought and the labels that other people put on you and put on us. She didn't live defined by the label of others. She lived defined by the label of God. Chosen, favored, honored. You shall be with child. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will call his name Jesus and he will be Savior to the world. You know, the thought for me with joy is this, is joy often scares us at first. Joy often scares us at first because it's not painted as a representation of being joy. It's a big scary decision that we're confronted with. It's a moment in life when we're deciding things that we're confused about, that we're disturbed about, and that we are even afraid about, because we've got to let go of the familiar and we've got to trust God. Joy is often found on the other side of difficult moments, on the other side of difficult choices and difficult decisions. And it's not easy, because it's easier for us to trust ourselves. I mean, it really is. It's easier for us to trust our own instincts, our own preparation, our own education, our own experience, our own knowledge. It's easier for us to trust us than it is to trust God. It's natural to trust us. It's supernatural to trust God. What happened to Mary was not natural. It was supernatural. It defies all logic and wisdom from a human perspective. There are moments in our life with the difficult choices that we face where we need to trust God's heart more than our heart, God's word more than our word, God's person more than our person, God's presence more than our presence. And when we do that, it's supernatural. It's supernatural, and something supernatural is born. Jesus is our great example of this. Jesus is our example of trusting the heart of God. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it says this, it says that Jesus is our example in this, because his heart was focused on the joy, knowing that you would be his. He endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. This verse speaks of a moment when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane And he asked the Father, is there not another way that this can happen? I mean, do I really have to go to the cross? For a moment, he didn't want to go to the cross because of his humanness. But he surrendered to trusting the heart of his Father, and he went there. And the Bible says he was able to do that because of the joy that he set before him, the joy of knowing that you and I would be his, the joy that was beyond that difficult decision. You know, every one of us today can experience the joy that only God can give. Every one of us can experience that joy. Jesus spoke to his disciples about it. He says this in John 15:11. He says, these things I have spoken to you that your joy, or my joy, may be in you, and that your joy may be full. God's joy in us and our joy full. That's the secret to joy. God's joy in us and our joy full. Jesus wants us to have the fullest joy possible. As much joy as we can get. Extreme joy. Ecstatic joy. Overwhelming joy. How do I get that? By trusting him. By cooperating with his plan like Mary did. By making the difficult decisions when you have to make the difficult decisions. So my closing thought for Christmas is this. It's do what the people of the first Christmas story did. Do what they did. Find joy in your everyday boring routines. Find joy in your everyday moments. Stop chasing after what's already sent, because joy is sent. It's sent. Take the first steps of your journey realizing God is with me. Emmanuel, he always will be with me. He was sent to be with me. And that I can make the difficult decisions to trust God instead of trusting myself. Joy is a choice. Anger is a choice. Bitterness is a choice. Discouragement is a choice. Revenge is a choice. There's a lot in this world to be disappointed about. There's a lot in this world to be even angry about and bitter about for people. There's a lot to be discouraged by. But the Christmas story, would you stand to your feet? Stand to your feet right across the room with me if you would, please. The Christmas story, if you can choose joy, because joy is here, joy is sent, joy is a journey, and joy is making the difficult decisions knowing that God is with you. Not only is there so much to be discouraged about in this world, there is so much more to be thankful for. There is so much to be joyful about. So take note of what the Bible says today. To be joyful always. Always be joyful. Because that little baby, that little toddler born in Bethlehem was and is the Son of God, the Lord, the Messiah, and he is good news and great joy to all the people. So a very Merry Christmas to you, your family, and your friends. If you're traveling on this Christmas break, make sure you take care as you travel, as your holiday. Be filled with joy with the people that you're with, the celebrations that you have. If you're by yourself, be filled with joy. Always be joyful. Don't miss the moment. Don't miss the season. Don't let circumstance, don't let anything rob you of your moment to have joy in your heart. Jesus' joy filling you on this journey. Let me pray for you, and then we're going to sing this carol, Joy to the World. Father, I thank you today for family and friends. I thank you for people that are navigating the journey of life together. And today we just surrender our hearts to you, and we acknowledge you for who you are, for who you are to us, for your love for us, and we surrender to that today. There are people in the room today that face all kinds of challenge and difficult scenarios and circumstances, and I pray that you would help them as they make difficult decisions, Father, and are challenged to face the issues of life. There are others where life is going good, but whatever our situation and circumstance today, we will always be joyful. We will always be joyful because joy is here right now. I'm not waiting to get there. It's here now. Your joy is sent to me. It's sent to every single one of us. And joy, it's a journey. It just keeps unfolding. There will be some tears, but on the other side, there is great joy. And joy is in making difficult decisions, knowing that our ever-present God is with us. us. Father, help Christmas to be merry. Help it to be joyful for everyone, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, lift your voices.